नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नमः। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्यादेशतारिणे वंचकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। अजानुलंबित भुजौकनकावदातु संकीर्तनांकितरौ कमलायताक्षु विश्वंबरौ द्विजगरौ युगधर्मपालौ वन्दे जगत्प्रियकरौ करुणावतारौ यन्तः प्रविश्य मम वाचि मम प्रसूक्तं सञ्जीवयात किल शक्तिधरस्वधाम आराध्य भगवन् व्रजेशतनयस्तद्धाम वृन्दावनमरण्यखचिदुपासन व्रजवादुवर्गेण यकल्पितं श्रीमद्भागवतं प्रमाणममलं प्रेम कुमार्थमहं श्रीचैतन्य महाप्रभोर्मतमिदं तत्रादरो नापरहाम्। It's a great honor for me to be together with all of you, and especially with His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, who is my guru. Just before this, he asked me to speak, and I said I would rather listen to you. And he said, it's your selfish desire, and you're here to serve, therefore you should speak. And it's only because of his order I dare to open my mouth and speak in front of him. Legend of our moment, and his service to Srila Prabhupada is unparalleled, and his steadiness and kindness and spirit are very much inspiring. So I ask for his blessing before I can say something. Today morning I was reading purport of Sanatana Goswami to Ten Offenses in Hari Bhakti Vilas, and he comments, he makes a very interesting observation commenting on the last offense. The last offense from Padma Purana sounds Srutepi Nama Mahatmyam Priti Rahitam Adhamah Aham Mamadi Aham Mamadi. What is it? Aham Mamadi. Yeah. You have it there? Aham Mamadi. doesn't have Sanskrit. Okay. Sautihi aparatha krit. Anyway, we all know this usual explanation of the tense offense, which is perhaps the offense from which all other offenses are stemming out. It is said very clearly in Sanskrit, Shrutepi Nama Mahatmyam, even though one has heard so many times the glory of the holy name, still Priti Rahitam, he is still devoid of priti, devoid of love. Aham mamadi parama, paramo, aham mamadi paramo. Yeah, that's very important. I missed a very important word. He still thinks that aham and mama and adi, whatever coming from this concept of I and mine, is more important than the holy name. Paramo means, parama means supreme. Aham mama adi parama. Despite of hearing the glory of the holy name, knowing that the holy name is non different from Krishna himself, one still thinks that this concept of I and mine in this world is something more important. Something, because priti basically means I don't think about myself, I think about the object of my priti, object of my love. So, Srila Sanatana Goswami says, he explains, he expands on this concept of aham and mama, what does it mean? And it is said there that somebody who is doing this, he is adhama. In our formulation of this offense, it doesn't say adhama. Adhama means the lowest of the mankind. In our usual Sanskrit of this offense, there is simple naraha, the person who is doing this. But there it is said, he is the lowest of the mankind, who despite of hearing the glory of the holy name, doesn't give attention to the holy name, doesn't put his heart in the chanting of the holy name. His chanting is still mechanical because there is something more important for him. And, you know, if something is important for us, we put our heart into this thing. If somebody is really dear to us, he is the object of our investment of our heart. That's natural. So, and if something is not really dear to us, our relationship with this object or subject is mechanical. If prasadam or if some foodstuff is very dear to us, we put all our heart into this process. Nobody should say to us that we should be very attentive while eating. If we are hungry, we are very attentive while eating. It's, if we are not hungry, we are quite mechanical while we are eating. But if we are hungry, we are not mechanical. We are doing it with full heart attention into the process. So the same thing works with the holy name. If the holy name is something important to us, then the chanting will have a special quality, which in this verse of Padma Purana is characterized as priti. It is said that it constitutes the offense to the holy name because still we hold more important position within our consciousness. And Srila Sanatana Goswami, he gives quite elaborate commentary on this verse, and he says that there are different ways one can manifest his aham and mama while chanting the holy name. The usual way of manifesting the concept of I'm and mine, of this ahankar, is to enjoy the material world. So one explanation of this verse: if we still attach to sense gratification and put more importance into sense gratification, and if the sense gratification is something more important in our life, and it always interferes with our chanting, that's an offense to the holy name. But then he says that there is another way of expressing one's ahankar or false ego while chanting the holy name. He says that sometimes we can manifest our false ego by saying that I am chanting so nicely. I am chanting so many rounds of the holy name. I am such a great chanter of the holy name. And it will still be the same good old, or rather I would say bad old, manifestation of the false ego. Ultimately, this last offense to the holy name is describing the greatest enemy of the chanting of the holy name, the greatest enemy of the spiritual life. This is our ego. When our ego, our concept of me as somebody who is very important, and mine, while I'm reflecting or projecting my ego onto some other subjects or objects of this world, it becomes mine. So while doing this and while holding this as important, more important than the holy name or is God, while I'm remaining in the center of this world, trying to compete with Krishna, this is an offense. And because of the offenses, we know there is no fruit of the chanting of the holy name. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also very beautifully explained this point while giving the anatomy of the cloud of anarthas. He says that the power of the holy name is blocked. In Sanskrit, it is called pratibandhaka. If something is blocking the power of some object, like for example, if the heat or the light of the sun is blocked by the cloud, then even though the heat and the light, the energy of the sun is still there, we cannot get the benefit because it's blocked. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, while analyzing this anatomy of the cloud of anarthas, he explains it in a very beautiful way. Without going into details, we can see the design or the logic of his explanation. He says that in the beginning of the anarthas, the root cause of all anarthas is the false conceptions, vibram. And he says, Svatattva Vibrahma, Paratattva Vibrahma, Sadhana Sadhya Vibrahma, and the force. Svatattva Vibrahma, Paratattva Vibrahma, Sadhana Sadhya Vibrahma, and the Vibrahma of the. What is wrong? What is the hindrance in this way? Anyway, it doesn't matter. But he says that originally all the anarthas are coming from the false conceptions. And all false conceptions are coming from the false conceptions of who am I? Svatattva Vibram. And ahankar, false ego, is actually the pinnacle of this false conception or manifestation of this false conception of who am I. I am in the center. I am the most important. Everything should be my way. there is a beautiful joke in Russian. Once a sadhu or whatever, a sage, was asked, how can you prove the existence of God? And his answer was, It's very easy to prove the existence of God because since I remember myself, something is always going not my way, so it must be going His way. Because it's not going my way, it must mean that God exists. Because if I was God, everything would go my way. So the beginning, the very root cause of all the problems which we have is this svatattva vibhram, which manifests as false I, ahankar, false conception, false ego, false conception of who I am and what I'm doing this. What is this world is all about? Why this world is somehow or other plotting against me and not giving me what I want? So, and then he says, after that, because of this false conception of myself and God and sadhana and sandhya, we develop tuccha sakti, we develop very petty attachment in this world. Naturally, because we have this false understanding of who I am, then attachment will come. And then the third one is aparad. And the fourth one is, hridya urbalyam, the weakness of the heart, or general flaws in our character. But if we see this logic in which these problems are put, first is the false conception of who I am and who is God and what I am supposed to do in this world and what is my purpose in life and what is the hindrance. Then the attachment inevitably comes next. And when the attachment comes, because of the attachment, we develop offensive attitude. Because what is offenses? Offenses is our subtle or sometimes not so subtle mechanism to destroy the hindrances to our attachments, to manifest or to develop our attachments. So, and then from offenses, the general flaws or the general defects of our character will develop in a very natural and spontaneous way. So, again, what I'm trying to make, and I will still come back to the Sanatana Goswami's commentary, because he ends this commentary in a very beautiful way. Basically, all the offenses of the Holy Name, which are blocking the power of the Holy Name, which are depriving us the real fruits or results of the chanting of the Holy Name, are coming from the false understanding who I am. This false pride which is there. And therefore, Sanatana Goswami ends his purport or explanation of this verse, the last verse of the Ten Offenses, by saying, therefore, Bhagavan himself says, Trinada pisunichina taror apisahishnuna amanina manadana hirtani asadahari. Therefore, the remedy from all the offenses and the only rule and the only understanding which we should have while chanting the Holy Name to counteract all the offenses is that we should become humble, we should become tolerant, we should become very respectful towards everyone, and we shouldn't expect any respect towards ourselves. Then Kirtaniya Sadahari. Actually, sometimes people are very diligently repeating all the offenses while before chanting of the Holy Name. But most of the offenses against the Holy Name we commit not while we are chanting the Holy Name. Most of the offenses we commit some other time, and moreover, it's the whole mentality which is offensive. The whole mentality which does not allow us to chant with the proper mood. Because Ultimately, Krishna wants to hear some love within our chanting. He wants to hear our heart, not just, you know, Krishna doesn't really interested to hear some material sound, some material mumbling, you know. Krishna is not egomaniac, you know, he's not, you know, sitting there and listening, is he, you know, what is he doing? You know, Krishna wants to hear the call of our heart. And therefore this last offense, the formulation or the definition of this last offense is this priti rahita adhama. The somebody who is chanting without priti, without paying attention to chanting, without giving importance to chanting, without understanding that this is the most important thing which one can do, he is adhama, he is the lowest of mankind. And if you give importance to the chanting, it's not difficult to chant all the time. You know, if something is really important for you, you will do it all the time without any problem. If the child is important to mother, she will take care of him 24 hours a day. It's not that she will just, you know, take care of him 1.5 hour by looking in the watch, and that's it. The rest of the day is for me. I'm free now. No. If the child is important, you know, perhaps the mother would like to do it, but it's not possible. Because the child is there, and the child is important for her. In the same way, if the holy name is important for us, it's very natural to chant all the time, to chant again and again and again. And it's very easy to chant all the time. You know, sometimes devotee, we know that the standard definition or the standard vow, initiation vow, that I have to chant at least 16 rounds every day. And oftentimes people give the slightly different version of this vow. I promise to you to chant 16 rounds every day, and I say, please say at least 16 rounds, because otherwise you will break your vow while chanting 17 rounds. You know, but the reality is not 16 rounds. 16 rounds is just to give us some discipline. The reality is, actually, Srila Prabhupada said 24 hours. That's the minimum. And if you cannot do this, then 23 hours is also okay. But at least 16 rounds. But the point is not 16 rounds. The point is to give importance to this process. The point is to give heart to this process. And then the offenses will not be there. Unless we give real heart to this process, unless we really pay attention to this process and do it in a proper mood, then our chanting will be offensive, and this offensive chanting will not bring satisfaction, and we will have to look for satisfaction somewhere else. You know, I've seen people who are giving this initiation vows, and they're very bold and brave. You know, but after some time, they change their mind. It's actually very important to understand that it's not our mind who gives the vow today. Therefore, it's not an excuse if the mind is changed and the vow is also changed. It's me, the soul. Again, this is the false conception. People, because they identify with the mind, when the mind is changed, then they feel justified to break the vow. I'm different now. No, you're not. The soul is the same. And now the soul is giving the vow to put his consciousness into this process of the chanting of the holy name. This is the meaning of the first initiation, because every one of us is already chanting. Before being recommended for the first initiation, one is supposed to chant. So what is the difference? The difference is that now we are not just giving the vow to chant. By giving the vow to chant without offenses, by giving the vow to try to get rid of the offenses, by giving the vow to put the special attention to this process of the chanting of the holy name, which will ultimately fulfill all our desires and purify our hearts and purify everyone around us, not only our own heart. So, this is the few points which I wanted to make while speaking today. Any manifestation of the false ego, of Ahankar, while chanting, is the enemy. And sometimes we will use the chanting to manifest our Ahankar. Once Srila Prabhupada made a very peculiar statement. He said that sometimes people use Krishna consciousness to avoid Krishna consciousness, to escape Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we may use the practice of Krishna consciousness to escape of being Krishna conscious. It's kind of a protective shield or something which deprives us of Krishna consciousness. We say, I'm okay, I'm fine, everything is fine with me. Look, I have tilak, and I have, you know, Sri Kantimala, and I have my bits, you know, they're with me. Krishna consciousness, it's a matter of consciousness. In any other process or in any other yoga path, you can get away with some mechanical thing. In Krishna consciousness, mechanical way doesn't work. It means as soon as you're mechanical, in any practice of devotional service, you're not doing devotional service. It's not devotional service. Because devotional service is the activity of the heart. It's not the activity of the lips or tongue or even body. It's the activity of the consciousness. And this is the only way to get rid of the offenses of the holy name and get the desired fruit of the chanting of the holy name, a real love of Godhead. And for that, the rule is that we have to be very humble and very tolerant. It's very interesting. I recently had to study the teachings of Father Sampradayas because I was engaged in some debate with some followers of Madhvacharya. And to my great surprise, nowhere else I found so much stress on offenses as in Gaudiya line. They don't pay so much attention to this point, whereas this is the central point of our practice, to understand what the offense is. What is the blockage, or what is the hindrance in our spiritual practice? Unless we understand it very carefully, it will become a useless waste of time. Not entirely useless, but to a greater extent, not very fruitful engagement of our lips and tongue. As it is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you can chant you know, for millions and millions of lifetimes without getting the real fruit. And of course, for that, to get the real fruit of chanting and to get the real mood, this mood of humility is something which is very difficult to understand just by listening about this. The mood of humility, the real mood for chanting, you can only get from somebody who has this mood. Therefore, the personal association is so important, and the personal relationship are so important. Therefore, this ceremony of initiation is there to help us to avoid offenses, because the ceremony of initiation establishes our position as a servant. As I said, the greatest enemy of the spiritual practice and the spiritual life is the false conception of myself. So while getting the first initiation, we're getting the new conception of ourselves. We become Das or Devi Dasi, and you know, sometimes we forget about this. Sometimes one would like to be Prabhu. You know. Everyone else is Das, but I'm Prabhu, and I'm on the way to become Mahaprabhu. But the real point of initiation is to get the right identity, to get the right identity at this point. I'm getting the right identity. I'm Das or Dasi, eternally so. There is a beautiful story which I read in Prabhupada's memories. One devotee is telling a story about initiation, his initiation. I don't exactly remember whether it was, I think it was him who was telling the story himself. He came in a temple as a new bhakta, and he had a very strong controlling tendencies. And he wanted to, you know, he expressed his tendencies very freely in the temple, and he was very soon was appointed as a temple commander, and everyone knew that this is the guy with, you know, with very great controlling power. So the story goes like this: when the time of his initiation came, he came to Srila Prabhupada, and we know the usual ceremonies like this, that one pays obeisances to his spiritual master and then gives the vows, and then spiritual master gives him the new name and gives him the chanting beads. But in his case it was different. So while he was in Dandavat in front of Srila Prabhupada, all of a sudden he's chanting Prabhupada's pranam mantra. He's lying there on the floor, paying his obeisances and chanting Prabhupada's mantra, and he hears at the same time, "Your name is such and such Das." And then Prabhupada says, "Das, you understand? Das, thousand times Das, not the Lord, Das." Before he could get up, you know, he was completely shocked. He didn't know what to do. And then he said, he explains, while I was listening to this, he said, there was only one thought in my mind at that time: what am I supposed to do with it now? What am I supposed to do with it? So Prabhupada, he caught him, you know, he knew that, you know, while he would stand up, it would be too late, you know, while he's still there on the floor. He has to tell him, "This is your constitutional position. This is what you're supposed to be. You're Das, thousand times Das, not the boss." You know, and this is the point of initiation. This is the real point. This is what is supposed to change in our life, and in general, and in our chanting in particular. And as I said, this mood of humility we can only get from somebody who has the humility. Therefore, I humbly request His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj to speak a few words to teach us the most important lesson.
Krishna-prishtaya bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Patarubhyascha Tripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
We have heard a very beautiful explanation of the proper process for chanting and in fact for living in Krishna consciousness. And the crucial point is humility. Humility actually means realism. If we're actually aware of the reality of who we are, then we will be humble. Humility is not a posture or a pose. Once a disciple asked Srila Prabhupada that the eight verses of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Shikshastaka, contained the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness. But the acceptance of a spiritual master is the first item of devotional service. So where do we find that in the Shikshastaka? And Srila Prabhupada replied, that if one is humble, one will seek out and accept a spiritual master. And accept the guidance of the spiritual master in whatever form it comes. So humility really means accepting one's actual position as the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Gopi Bhartu Padavaya Padavaya Dasa Dasa Anidasa. And I will tell a story that that illustrates that it's not a matter of outward demeanor that means humility, but it's a matter of surrender. This incident relates to when the Juhu temple, what was serving as the Juhu temple, was demolished by the municipality. And eventually we understood that we could rebuild it. And on Friday, Thursday night, we decided that over the weekend we're going to rebuild it. We're not going to wait for permission to rebuild it because we already had permission to build it. They're the ones who broke it, so we're just rebuilding what we had permission to build in the first place. So there was a great conspiracy against Srila Prabhupada and the devotees. And somehow the owner of the land, Mrs. Nair, I guess, through, I don't know how she must have had her spies in the plant. Somehow she found out that we were going to rebuild it. So she went to the court to get an injunction to stop the rebuilding. And the judge, who happened to have been a chief guest at one of our Pandal programs, said, no, I will not give an injunction without hearing the other side. And she said, well, give a temporary injunction, and then you can hear the other side on Monday. And he said, no, I won't give even a temporary injunction. So it was set that the matter would be heard on Monday. So we knew we had the weekend to rebuild it. So we began the work. And so one of the conspirators came, and you know, he said, you can rebuild it, but I'm going to come back with 100 gundas. Gundas means like hoodlums, and break it down. And Prabhupada's staunch devotee, Mr. Sethi, he said, first he said to his son, Bridge Mohan, bring my revolver and my gun. And then he said to Mr. Matre, 100 men is not enough. I have 250 cartridges. So you have to bring at least 251 gundas. So he was very strong. Prabhupada liked that spirit. And so it was raining heavily, and at night, Jamal Krishna Goswami told me that I want you to stay awake all night and make sure that this work gets done. and nothing comes in the way. Now, what I'm going to say next might sound different from the way I meant it. But just before, just a few days before the incident, His Holiness Satrupa Das Goswami had visited Juhu, and I was very attached to him from when I joined the Boston Temple, and I liked his humble mood. So, without thinking too carefully, I said to Tamalkrishna Goswami that, I just want to be a humble devotee, like Satrupa Maharaj is so humble. And Tamalkrishna Goswami said, your humility will be to stay up all night to make sure that this work gets done and nothing comes in the way. And I thought about it, and I realized actually what he said is true. If I'm thinking, in any other conception than to please Srila Prabhupada, then where's my humility? Where's my surrender? And so that was an important lesson, that humility really needs to surrender to the order of spiritual master, order of Krishna, without consideration. And I don't know if it's the same night or the next night, because there were two nights. His Holiness Sridhar Swami, he stayed up. We had a jeep, and it was like really raining hard. And there was no shelter. So he sat in the jeep, chanting japa. And Mr. Sethi's son went up to him, and he said, Maharaj, what are you doing there? He said, I'm sitting in the jeep, so if the kundas come, I can run away very quickly. That's the sense of humor. So humility really means to surrender to the order of the spiritual master, surrender to the order of Krishna. And that mood should be constant, as Maharaj said. Most of the offenses are committed not while we're in the act of chanting, but when we're not chanting. In fact, the offenses can pervade our entire existence and also infiltrate our chanting. So this meditation, Trinada Pisunice Na, should be constant. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discusses this, his own verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we can test ourselves to what extent we're actually following that principle. And he speaks about the tree, Trinada Pisunichena, more humble than the grass and more tolerant than the tree. So how does the tree tolerate? It tolerates by remaining fixed, even when there's scorching sunlight, torrential rain, animals come and pass water. It tolerates. And at the same time, it continues to give service. It continues to give shade and shelter. It gives its fruits and flowers. So when there is some affront to our false ego, we should try to control our response with higher intelligence and not react, but tolerate like the tree. And not only not react in a negative sense, but to continue to give service. And that principle can be applied even while we are chanting. Because the holy name is independent. The holy name is Krishna. And we cannot try to be the controller of the holy name. We're only the servant, or servant of the servant of the holy name. And we depend entirely on mercy. And mercy means we have no claim on it. Mercy means it's just given. It causes us. So while chanting, we should be praying to be able to articulate the mantra and hear the mantra and really have a feeling for Krishna while we are chanting. But if it doesn't go our way, we should tolerate and continue to give service. And our service at that time is to chant. So we tolerate our own inadequacy and continue with our service of chanting. But of course, association with devotees who have taste, devotees who are humble, you can't have taste otherwise, it is a very important part of the process. When we're chanting and at other times as well. We're so dependent on good association. And we shouldn't take anything for granted. Whatever we have is a gift. And it may happen that something that we have is taken away from us. And only after it's taken away from us do we realize the value of what we have. Just to give a very simple example, one morning I woke up and I had extreme pain in the joints of my right hand. And, you know, I wanted to chant, but it was so painful and it was swollen. I couldn't. So then I thought, all right, well, let me try chanting with my left hand. That didn't seem right. I mean, it was a very awkward situation. And I realized, you know, that this hand that I think is my hand, it doesn't actually belong to me. Belongs to Krishna, this body, this mind, everything, my very self, belongs to Krishna. And I have to be very careful to use it properly in his service. Otherwise, if I'm not using it properly, he might, give me a slap on the wrist. He might chastise me to make me realize that I can't take anything for granted. So that applies to everything, and especially the association of devotees. The Bhagavatam uses the word yadrichaya, which means, you could say, of its own accord. And in one beautiful purport, Srila Prabhupada, Hare Krishna, welcome. But one of our most senior devotees from the island of Mauritius. So we have to really, beg for that association and cherish it when we get it, and just understand that we're completely dependent on that association to survive. The problem that Krishna consciousness is 90% association. I'll say a few words about second initiation, because a number of devotees will be getting second initiation as well. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, mamcha yogya vicharine bhakti yogena sevate sadhanam samachitta brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who is unfailing in one's execution of devotional service transcends the modes of nature and comes to the level of Brahma. And as Srila Prabhupada often said, that to serve, that to enter fire, you have to be fire. To serve the Supreme Brahman, you have to be on the Brahman platform. And this initiation, of course, is built on first initiation. And so we should be unfailing, at least, in chanting our 16 rounds without offense, or at least making our best effort to avoid offenses, and following the four regulated principles. If one is not maintaining that standard, he or she should not go on the altar. But that is the basic standard for maintaining one's spiritual position. And it's also mentioned in the scripture in the next of devotion, that only one who is strictly following the regulated principles is allowed to touch the deity. So, otherwise, there are many luminable qualities in the mode of goodness, and in deity worship, as Srila Prabhupada said, the main considerations are cleanliness and punctuality. And of course, beyond everything is devotion. But we manifest our devotion by following the procedure as instructed. And even if we don't have full devotion, but following the procedure will help us to develop our devotion. But otherwise, it is worshiping the deity with faith and veneration is one of the most important items in devotional service. And of course, even witnessing someone do the worship counts as duty worship, just like we attend the arti, it also counts as duty worship. But it's wonderful to feel the reciprocation of the deity. And of course, there are many miraculous exchanges between devotees and deities. And I'll tell one which is not that miraculous in a way, but in a way it is. The other day, one devotee from Spain named T. Pavandas was telling me how much the temple's deities of Lord Jagannath were reciprocating with him. And one day, they didn't have money to buy the boga. And another devotee was coming at 9 o'clock to get the money to go shopping. And he didn't have the money. And he didn't know what he would tell that devotee. And suddenly, at about a quarter to nine, a lady walked into the temple and said, I want to do some service for Lord Jagannath. I want to give some money to buy food for him. Well, you're welcome, whatever. And she was someone, you know, she would come maybe put €5 in the box. She didn't come very often, and she handed him an envelope. And he looked in the envelope, and it was the exact amount that he was supposed to give to the other devotee, Krishna Shakti, who was going to do the shopping. He opened up the envelope and it was €75 exactly. And he was just standing there with the envelope in his hand, you know, looking at Lord Jagannath and saying, you know, you're so merciful, you're so kind. And as he was standing in front of Lord Jagannath with the envelope in his hand, the other devotee, Krishna Shakti Das, came. He said, I've come for the Lakshmi. He just handed him the envelope. It's right here. It's waiting for you. So, anyways, we are the recipients of so much mercy. Everything, the association of devotees, the holy names, the books, and those of us who are here, the opportunity to spend time in Vrindavan, and the opportunity to serve the deities, pray to the deities. We should treasure every moment and try to make the best use of every moment we have, and not deviate, not allow our minds to wander here and there looking for sense gratification or impersonal liberation. So I think that, do you want to say anything now to the group? So I think we can proceed now. The candidates will come forward.